Everybody, you're listening to WMFO 91.5 FM. What's up, everybody? You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO. Here we are in the studio. 91.5WMFO.org. We're vibing, we're feeling good, and you know, we're learning how microphones work. It's a science. It's a science that involves. Me and McDermott learned about this in
Music 64.
Music 64. It's a science that involves a. You have to put it like a. What's the first thing? What's the first thing you do with a mic? There's like a membrane on the outside. Sort of works like an ear. They modeled it after an ear, right?
Yeah.
Another important thing about the microphone is you have to turn it on before you use it. That's the thing I just figured out. So, what's up? Medford. Somerville. We're close to it. We live in Somerville, but we're here in Medford. Here to talk about a little bit of stuff going on in the world. We call it Anything's Possible because anything is possible if you believe in yourself and put the effort in. Just go at it. Just attack whatever stands in your way. Obstacles, you know? I'd like to introduce my guests, including Jackson Mim.
Hello. Always glad to be on the show, James. Thank you for having me.
Always glad to have you, and I look forward to a fascinating discussion involving incredibly interesting topics of many kinds. We're also talking to Brian Jerf today.
How's it going?
a dude. He just changed his profile picture. It's looking pretty fresh. Go ahead and get on Facebook and give that a like. And we also got Matt McDermott.
What's up, guys?
Not much. How are you?
You too.
Good, thanks.
And you?
E2, igualmente. Spanish level 1. Anyway.
All right, we got our first text from a listener asking, Jackson Mim, yes. What is your Doodle Jump high score?
Oh, I think it was over 30,000. I don't remember the score. It was good. I know it was good at the time.
That was 31,000.
I think, Flappy Bird I do know off the top of my head, and that's because I still have the game on my phone, and my high score is 127.
So. 127, no, this is your new phone or your old phone?
This is my old phone.
That phone's probably worth a lot of money right now.
Probably. Flappy Bird is an amazing game.
James, what was your high score, Doodle Jump?
I don't know, but it was definitely dumb high. I definitely spent way too much time on that stuff. And now I'm feeling like I'm very proud of it. Couldn't be more fortunate to be in this position, of having such scores on mobile games. You know, it was a defining period of my life where I, you know, put in the time. I really worked at it, and you know, the best things came through. We got a road trip cue in the background of this broadcast. So I'm gonna. Okay. So first question, Devin Booker, 20 years old.
Animal. Absolute beast.
Player for the Phoenix Suns, who we had the chance to watch recently in a live performance. He performed his first record. Devin Booker, Tools on Kids. Just kidding, he's a basketball player and he hit 70 points in a game. It's pretty good.
Highest since Kobe.
11 years since there's been a 70-point game. But there you go.
His team still lost.
Too bad. Should have tried harder. He only shot like 41, 21 out of 40. I mean, like pretty good, but
pretty,
like...
That's pretty good percentage.
But like, you know, it's not... It's definitely like a not like... It doesn't reflect how on fire he...
Yeah.
He looked out there, you know?
Easily.
We just came back from a road trip where we drove 24 hours there and back. We hit Miami, Florida, a wonderful land of tropical wonder and a beautiful place. Home of Jackson Mim.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Jackson Mim, here's a question. Have you ever heard of South of the Border?
I have. I've been to South of the Border.
Have you really?
Yeah, it is. That is a mainstay. If you are driving on I-95, you need to go to South of the Border.
There are billboards for that every mile on the mile for 120 miles in either direction.
Their strategy is marketing. They don't have a marketing strategy. Their strategy is marketing.
That's crazy. Yeah, they honestly, like, I feel like if their customer base is all people driving to Florida, they don't really need the, or they can't get the repeat customer, so they just got to be as tacky as out there as humanly possible.
Easy.
Oh yeah, you can get everybody once with that strategy.
You know,
that's kind of the goal. Yeah, I guess so.
So my roommate's family, they make a point to go every single time they go up, never to go when they're going down. they always go to south of the border. It's like a family tradition. Mm-hmm. So if you can even make customers, and it's almost ironic. They go and buy, they give them $10 and tell them to buy the most stupid t-shirt they could find at the...
That's funny.
It's pretty
true.
It's comically, it's sort of like...
That's the kind of place where you could probably still find like a Confederate flag or two. Like,
so over the top. I mean, it's almost, it's straight out of the movie, you know?
Yeah. Surreal.
If you get the chance, if you're driving up the Eastern Seaboard or down this Eastern Seaboard, check out south of the border. Delicious hot dogs.
Probably.
We didn't have any.
Past 2 a.m. both ways. So.
But they just seemed like they had a sign that said hot dogs, and we were like, those seem like they'd be good. You know. So there you go. That was the inside the brain of us. But yeah. From next we'll be talking about from now on we'll be talking about a new topic. This topic is US soccer.
The revival of US soccer.
So it's interesting. US soccer, I mean, with a big population, It's just so subpar. It's just not what it should be.
I think
not
we're
part of the culture.
Fourth most populous country in the world. We're probably last rankings. We were probably 30. I don't remember. We were over 30. The highest the U.S. has ever been, ever, was 6 in the world in the FIFA rankings, and we were only there shortly.
So, really, it's. I mean, soccer's, I guess, an important part of like high school. Like it's common, it's a normal activity, but it just, we don't have the same, I mean, like most of the rest of the world is just, the passion is over the top, incredible, you know. It's because
our best athletes don't play soccer.
Yeah, true.
Our best athletes are playing football, our best athletes are playing baseball, you know. There's not enough of like a market force, you know what I mean?
Could be the lack of, you know, pro league.
Pro league's been getting really good, though. We're attracting some really big talent over here.
Yeah, MLS.
Steven Gerrard, Andrea Pirlo.
But, you know, the MLS,
it's still...
Over the last, like... When did the MLS start? When did the MLS start?
So it started in the 90s. I don't know what year exactly.
Yeah, it's sort of like WNBA in the 90s. And it's like, for all that time of like cultural development, there just wasn't, you know, that it wasn't up there.
Yeah.
With the
Nowadays, I think the average attendance is more than NBA, which is saying something, and NHL, but still, the stadiums are outdoors, so there's a lot more potential for customers.
So it's sort of an addition.
Yeah.
You know, it's an addition to culture.
Yeah. Some places, it's a really strong, thriving... I went to Seattle, and I saw a game, and there was 50,000 people in the stands. It was like a march beforehand. It was like a real European soccer match.
Right on.
But...
They play Gillette.
Yeah, the Revs.
Yeah, the Revs. Do they play there?
I have. This is the one team I don't know about is the Revs. So
I feel like they definitely used to, but I can't remember if they still play there.
They might.
I can see why. You know, the attraction of Gillette.
Yeah.
I mean, it provides a smooth shave, you know. Rarely gives you cuts, right? Is that a thing? So I can understand why they would want to play at the stadium of that company, you know. It just drew them, you know.
They do play at Gillette Stadium, and the capacity is only 20,000 for soccer. They only allow 20,000, even though the official capacity for the Patriots would be 68,000. And I'm about to tell you how much they average.
Stadiums, man, it's so fascinating. I mean, like, if aliens if aliens came down, the amount they could tell from you know, those, the size of those stadiums, it would be so indicative about
how much we care about sports.
Yeah, yeah. And like the social nature of
the Colosseum.
Human beings. Yeah, the Colosseum, yeah.
Didn't they used to always say that, like, the biggest, you could tell, like, how much a civilization valued religion and stuff by, like, what the tallest buildings were? Like,
oh,
like,
wow,
for a while,
yeah,
they had people, like, the churches were the tallest buildings, and then it became, like, the Capitol buildings or, like, business buildings or something. Like,
and now it's a hotel in
Dubai.
A condominium in Dubai.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, I mean, you can't make a big sport. You can't make a tall sports stadium. So I guess, like, that wouldn't be in the equation. But, like,
but the U.S. I saw a fact the other day. If the U.S. had the World Cup, or sorry, if the state of Texas had the World Cup, they would have all the stadiums would be higher capacity than those that were used for the Brazil World Cup.
Really?
Wow! Yeah. Can you believe that?
Yeah, there are more. There are like more than 7 stadiums in Texas with over 50,000 capacity, and they're all for football.
Wow! Yeah. They're just into it. They're about it.
Yeah, they love that gridiron, you know.
Anyway, we're gonna head to a new segment. This segment is called Jerf Talks.
This is my favorite segment.
Jerf, please tell us about
the new trailer for
The newest trailer. Okay, here. Popular culture and money and its effect on films. How can money decrease the quality of films?
Can I speak on this? Sorry, Jerf. I know this is
a
big moment. But I just watched La La Land on the plane over here, and I couldn't help but notice, like, 4 mini advertisements for Stella Artois. Every drink in the beer, in every beer in the whole movie is Stella Artois. And I was just like, this is supposed to be a fine film. I'm not supposed to notice any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, blatant product placement. I was pissed.
Because, like,
still a great film.
If somebody can detect the fact that there's product placement, it just goes up the amount of, the amount of decrease in appreciation for the film goes up substantially.
Yes.
And then barely, you know, once it's established. So it's like you might as well not even have it at all.
I think that it's interesting. The movies in which product placement is more generally accepted are the movies that generally don't need the money from the product placement. They already have
Transformers.
It's you're not gonna get mad seeing Tony Stark driving an Audi. You're not going to get mad seeing James Bond drink a Heineken unless you're all about the martini thing, but he did it in one of the most recent movies. Or James Bond driving a Aston Martin, you know? It's certain movies, it doesn't matter if you know it's a movie because it's not as important to what the entertaining factors of the movie.
It's true.
Movies like La La Land are designed to be... I haven't seen it, but it's the type of movie that is designed to kind of captivate you, and I'm guessing it's supposed to feel more like
authentic,
a play than a movie, you know,
it's
supposed to feel real. So in that case, I could see why the product placement might have been a little over the top. Also, that movie would have a huge budget, so
we've been thinking about a lot about
I guess.
Oh yeah, a lot about you know, the effects, like an old man who's an owner, you know, how much an owner of a franchise or something like that, like just a businessman, you know, representative of a company, and he suddenly, you know, this guy.
What James is saying is that he doesn't like old people.
I mean, it's kind of true. I mean, it depends on the if there's somebody who likes learning and, you know, continues and is passionate, you know, and is like, and is open to new ideas and is you know someone who's like staying with it, of course, you know, I like that person a lot. It's a good person. However, the people who are so, you know, like established in their ways and unwilling to accept anything new that occurs in the world, and you know, like, hurt the progress of other people because of those things. I'm not about it as much.
Understandable.
So take one of those people, put them in the position of executive at a movie studio, and, you know, impede good storylines from taking place. You know, taking the control away from people who are creative and making decisions based on market research and stuff like that. I'm going to say, you know, hold on here. That's what I'll say. I probably won't say anything else. I'll be just like, hold on here and see if they can infer that I want them to stop. They're doing that.
We were on the drive down here, and James, you were talking a lot about, like, bad advertisements, bad marketing. Like, it's so common to see on the side of the road these billboards of people that just, like, clearly don't understand. Like, it's okay to be not funny, I think, especially
Farmers
if you're...
Farmers only.
Like, okay, that's different. Like, I mean, like, places, like, companies that will put, like, the meme font on some stuff and put that in an ad. And just, like, be like, oh, yo, kids use this in pictures. They'll want to buy a McFlurry or something. Like,
it's just not, you're hiring people who are not...
Anti-smoking ads.
Oh my God, they're just
looking from the outside and are not people who are in touch with the target demographic and manage to just be blatantly horrible at their job. Trying to do a job that they can't do. And, you know, there you go. Complaint of the day.
That's bad. We were talking about this... there's a... If you've seen the video on YouTube, I don't remember what it's called. It's one of the more recent anti-smoking ads. They put... just all the cheesiest stuff from, like, home videos and, like, from internet videos with, like, cats... like, overdone cats and stuff everywhere. And they... it's like an anti-smoking ad, but everything in it is just so played that, like...
It's played over, like, long, loud house music. It's,
yeah.
Like, really bad. In the meme font.
Yeah, it's, like... it's, you gotta wonder, like, if, like... I heard a conspiracy somewhere that Marlboro is, like... by law has to pay, like, support some of these anti-smoking ads. And I gotta wonder if they're, like, making something so uncool that, like... you know, I've never smoked a cigarette. And in the back of my mind, after watching that... minute and a half long video, I kind of wanted to just, like, go out and smoke a cigarette to punish whoever made that horrible video.
There you go. I agree. I mean, it's good branding is not that difficult, you know? If you just have somebody who's in touch and you know, knows what other people would like as well as themselves, you know? We need more of it. We need more of it.
Perhaps the experienced person who would argue that their experience is the most important decision-making factor should just have a slightly smaller role, if anything.
Yeah. And also, like, if you think about, like, the principle of, like, getting a bunch of people to agree on something. So you've got a room with 10 old people. The second kind of old people I was talking about, who are making a decision on what thing they want the most. You know, it's going to be the most vanilla thing because they all are going to have to agree on it, you know? So it's like, it's just so not tailored. It's the most consumer-friendly, mass appeal thing that they could have come up with. And, yeah, there you go. Big questions we're asking today on WMFO Radio. Anything is possible. I'll play some tunes for y'all. Hope you enjoy. It's gonna be great. Thank you.
See, I never even stretched her fate. The storm would not allow it. As you observe it, fools out of play. The time was born around it. Oh, I know what it calls when you're bare, stripped from the mold. Well, I stare sometimes and it tears away with your soul.
We back on WMFR Radio 91.5. Anything is possible. Ooh, that's creepy. We got a little, we got a few more topics to talk about today. First off, people giving other people bad advice. I mean, it's common. It's rampant. I'll tell you what. If there's anything that I know about that.
Dude, I think walking into the dining hall and just walking by a table with two people sitting down and just like hearing somebody just lead somebody into making awful life choices and then walking by and being powerless to do anything and just observing, I think is objectively one of the funniest things.
That's definitely top tier creep out stuff.
That's like irony. Like in its most pure form. Like
yeah.
You cannot do anything to this, and it's still funny.
I was like walking by two girls, one giving another. They were like talking about picking classes for next semester. And she said something about like telling. She was like telling her friend not to take this certain class that I knew for a fact is a major requirement. And she's like, just like, it's like, I don't know if I should. And it's like, I went along and okay, I guess I won't take it. You just like,
it's like you have to take that stuff. It's like, you're just.
I saw it today. Also, the airport is a funny place. TSA. Clearly, you have to take your shoes off. Clearly.
Right.
I saw a kid ask mom, should I take my shoes off? And I was just like. Obviously, you have to take the shoes off, everyone has to take your shoes off. Mom said, no, you're under a certain age, you don't have to. Walk through, the TSA people get all mad, the kid gets patted down. I'm just kind of sitting there, and I'm just like, you screwed up.
That's really funny.
Yeah, you're getting trouble, causing trouble. Being too sure of yourself, it's a thing, you know? You gotta know what you don't know.
better than if what you do know.
Yeah, and if you know what you don't know, and you know what you know, do you really know what you don't know?
I mean, logically, what you know and what you don't know are two sets, subsets of like all available possibility. Like every bit of information, you either know it or don't know it. I think like you could make the distinction though between like things you don't know.
And there are known unknowns. You don't know. You know.
Yeah, there are known unknowns and there are unknown unknowns.
Are there unknown unknowns?
Yeah, that's unknown unknown. So there's like I don't know.
They're hard to talk about because
you don't know what they're gonna be yet.
You don't know what they are.
It's like when you're budgeting for something, you know what some of the upfront prices are, and then you know that you don't know exactly what some later prices could be. But you also have to plan for the unknown and plan for like there will be things that come up that I don't even know what they are yet that I'm gonna have to pay for.
Are there known unknown unknowns?
That's a few too many layers for me to be able to comprehend, but there are unknown knowns. So like there could be things that you
know but don't know that you know.
That like you think you don't know the answer but you actually do know the answer. That happens to me on tests a lot.
Totally.
Are there known unknown knowns that you know?
Again, I don't think it goes too far beyond two levels.
What about unknown unknown known knowns that are both unknown and known?
They exist in a state of both known and unknown at the same time.
This is what goes on in the brain that is
just Gregoire.
You gotta follow it like transistors.
It's like there's a known and unknown that both exist in a box, and it doesn't become known or unknown until you observe it.
Yeah.
It's a cat. Schrodinger's cat.
Schrodinger's cat.
Jackson.
Oh. Let's talk about Komodo dragons.
Komodo dragons. Okay.
I just became entranced by them, and they're one of the coolest species of animal out there.
I'll tell you what. First of all, let's start off by talking about, what is it, island gigantism?
Island gigantism.
I mean, the tendency of organisms on an island to grow extremely large. And I think it has to do with, you know, the limited number of species, right?
So a lot of times it happens with birds and reptiles because in a lot of places, mammals are the dominant predator, like the apex predator. Think about, like, wolves, people, etc. So, like, On a lot of these islands, out in the middle of nowhere, you can get, like, think about the Galapagos and think about the huge turtles and the big birds and all the weird stuff that happens there.
Right on.
And then think about the island of Komodo in Indonesia, which has given way to the biggest lizard ever, the Komodo dragon. Just a really, really, really cool thing. I think it grows to be 10 feet long. It can kill people. Really.
I mean,
dinosaur.
It's just like, you know, you don't want to be too big sometimes because you don't want to have to support
they only have to eat monthly, which is...
Yeah, right. That's so huge.
Digestive system, yeah. Right?
And also, it's just like the opportunity for, like, you know, there's just a ton of, like, prey. There's a ton of prey on this island.
Yeah.
And there's, like, these tiny little lizards, and they're like, if I could only kill that big animal, I'd be so much better off. So they grow a little bit, and they just keep growing, because, like, the bigger they are, the better. And then the selective pressure. That limit's so high, because there's just so much prey available, and they're just...
Do you know how they do it?
So few predators.
It's pretty scary how they kill things.
How they do it?
So they... One of them takes a bite on one species, and their bite is so full of bacteria and toxins and just nasty stuff that it alerts all the other Komodos within like a mile or so radius, and they all just wait around it for literally days until that animal is too weak from the bite to fight them off, and they all feast at the same time.
Yeah.
So like one of them basically allows the rest of them to share its kill.
That's wild.
And they literally do it while they eat you alive. It is really scary. I saw a video of them with like a deer, with a pig. It's just really, really, really scary.
It's so programmatic, you know. It's like I watch these simulations of in a class of, you know, life, virtual evolution, you know, movement over generations, and how walking becomes more efficient and more and better, completely optimized in ways that humans couldn't even come up with by themselves. And like, for example, every manner imaginable came up, like walking using a head and one limb, and it's essentially perfect, you know, given where the limbs are in place, like given where matter's concentrated. It's like very interesting. And also like retrieving a ball, you know, the creatures have become very long and just stretch out and have long arms and be able to fend each other off. What do you think?
That's pretty wild. That's really crazy. Was this, can you tell me more about this simulation? Was it, could you look at and see these different pseudo animals?
Yeah, they're just like boxy and weird looking.
Are they like very rectangular with very few moving, with just a couple moving parts, almost like?
Yeah, it's like with every combination of limbs and body available, it would just be optimized.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I once saw this. I read this paper by a guy who was a computer scientist and had some type of background in evolution, and he was his PhD thesis paper was making, he was an avid bicyclist, and he made this wrote this program that it would take, he was trying to design a better bicycle wheel for his bike, or just design a wheel for a bike that would work, and he basically made these a few randomly generated wheels, and
right.
With like the spoke design was mostly what he was looking at, and he made them in this program like sort of like animals like you're describing. They could mate with other wheels, and they'd produce offspring that had characteristics of both parents with small chances of genetic mutation, and he ran this program, he's the cycle for generation after generation, and eventually it culminated in about a 32 spoke bicycle wheel, very, very, very similar to what we have today as like the most effective accepted racing rims and stuff. And it was just I thought it was like crazy interesting how this guy used an evolutionary simulated approach and arrived at a similar engineering solution to what we have today.
Right on. Magic.
That just shows if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
I mean,
that is
like,
not the world
like,
story. But.
He, with the simulation, like basically verified what we have, people, scientists building, or I guess engineers building bicycles. It was like, I thought it was just crazy interesting how
right. And it shows how design is an S curve or a curve that slopes off quickly. It just accelerates, and then slopes off, because you know you just reach a point where you have enough technology to build something that looks beautiful, and then what's beautiful doesn't change that much. You know, what's usable, and well working with a human being, it doesn't change that much from that one point. You know.
Yeah.
Logarithmic curve, is that what it is?
S curve, probably.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. You're listening to 91.5 WMFO.org on the web, educational radio. We're talking about some big topics here. Hope you enjoy. I'm gonna play another tune for y'all. And yeah, should be a magical and enlightening experience. Thanks. I got a little PSA for y'all. It's so we can keep the education going, you know. Keep the spirit of being smart, informed about organizations in the community, you know. Stuff going on. We like to keep it real here at WMFO. That's what we're about. So yeah, this one's about Food Not Bombs, a loose-knit group of independent collectives serving free vegan and vegetarian food to others. Food Not Bombs recovers and shares free vegan or vegetarian food with the public without restriction in over 1,000 cities around the world to protest war, poverty, and the destruction of the environment. Each group is independent and invites everyone to participate in making decisions for their local chapter using the consensus process. Food Not Bombs is dedicated to taking nonviolent direct action to change society so no one is forced to stand in line to eat at a soup kitchen, expressing a commitment to the fact that food is a right and not a privilege. For more information, visit foodnotbombs.net. A public service message from Food Not Bombs and WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Form Radio. There you go. So yeah.
Food Not Bombs.
I was thinking about, like, you know, I took a multivitamin this morning. And I was thinking about, you know, this stuff was not available to the people, you know, of even 300 years ago at all, really, you know. And it's like, I'm vibing, you know. I'm healthy. I've got the opportunity to be in a new category of health, you know, never before seen. It's really special. I'm thankful. I'm happy about it. And yeah, hopefully it makes me live a long time and be strong, you know, have a strong working brain. It happens, right? Your brain has better, you know, some of the stuff in your brain requires certain vitamins and things you get from food. And if they're not there, your brain just isn't as smooth. It works slower. It's very interesting, you know? So there you go. Yogurt's really good for you. What else? What's something that's low-key very, very good for you?
Leafy vegetables.
It's like they actually provide, you know, it's because, you know, the body's going to be optimized to be able to take in what's around it the most and use most efficiently. The things that during the development of the human being were around a lot.
Not McDonald's.
Yeah, and there you go. It's like really basic stuff. Really basic stuff.
It's like grain, nuts, berries, fruits, a little bit of meat, a little bit of meat in there.
Protein, sugar.
Yeah.
Fats.
Yeah.
The good stuff.
It's why sugar tastes so good to us, because we didn't have that much of it.
Yes, if you give a little bit. Luxury. Anyway. Now we moved on to thinking about, like, nutrition and, like, to become, like, super human, you know, like, protein, like, lots of it, you know, like, certain chemicals, creatine, steroids, and then, like, HGH. Really obscure stuff. Kale?
I said HGH.
HGH.
Some kale people think it's the same.
There you go.
Kale's horrible. Kale tastes so bad.
Do you think if kale funny, was everywhere?
It's funny. Just people stake their whole existence on, like, a superfood. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, avocado was cool when it got popular because it tastes really good. But kale?
Yeah, man.
Acai, that's a big one where I'm from. Have you heard about that?
No.
No.
What is
it's
that?
It's like the little berry, the little Brazilian berry. It's supposed to, like, you know, burn fat, cure all your diseases, and, you know, be good for you all at the same time. Just taste, they put them in these bowls they call acai bowls. Just a lot of sugar goes into those bowls before actual acai goes into them.
Well, yeah.
We went out to this place for lunch. It was like really good, traditional. It was Cuban.
Cuban food.
Fantastic. It was like grilled meat and rice and grilled onions, I think. And it was like fantastic. I remember saying, like, after we ate, that we're like, wow, that was a really healthy meal. Like, there are ways to eat healthy that aren't like I feel like a lot of the reason people eat kale is to make a statement, to be like punished, like self. You gotta like punish yourself to be healthy, you know?
It's
you can still, there are ways to eat healthy. There are ways to eat at least not horribly and still be like crazy. Like if the only way.
Satisfy your taste buds.
Yeah, if the only way healthy food was presented to me, it was through, it's either like kale or absolute garbage. Like I'm gonna choose garbage all the time.
Yeah.
But you can totally just like be a little bit healthier and not be like hurting yourself with kale.
It's like why Subway does well. It's because it brands itself as like kind of healthy, kind of tastes good. But if you want, you could still eat really, you know, you could put bacon on that too if you want.
Right, right.
So like kids like me will put double bacon.
Yeah, there you go.
Extra meat.
And then, yeah, you think about like, so you develop that in your mind, like there's this healthy food and then there's all the other foods. And so it's like all the other foods are kind of in the same category. So it's like, it's lumped, so it's like I might as well just pick anything in there, and then what it is ice cream. You know what I mean? It's like, there you go. You know, we were at a Subway in Georgia, and we had the special experience of paying for only one sub out of the three that we bought, and they were ginormous subs too, and so we're just thinking like, if this happened, I mean that stuff doesn't happen in, I've never had that happen to me. I don't think that happens in the North, you know?
It was pretty much for no reason, too. Like,
yeah.
We were about to just pay for everything, and she's like, no, I got you.
Yeah, it's like,
what time is this? What time is this?
Middle of the night.
Middle of the night, yeah.
Probably just happy you were there.
Right on, yeah.
True. Also, yeah, she was like the only employee, and there actually was like a lot of people walking in at that time. So, maybe just trying to get the transaction over with quicker.
It's part of it, I guess. But yeah, spread the vibes.
Everyone give away free stuff at your company's expense.
Yeah.
Especially the tough students.
Yeah, we're poor. I mean, you know, we got disposable income, but we still poor. Kind of. I don't know. If you judge it by net worth, I'm not worth a lot. Yeah. Anyway, we want to thank you for being great listeners today. WMFO 91.5. We're educational. We're inspirational. We keep it real. And yeah, there you go. So thanks. Peace out.
About the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country. Come take me home again. Yeah, I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun.
purple peace train sounding louder. Ride on the peace train. Ooh, ooh. Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy roller. Everyone jump up on the peace train. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh. Come on. Go bring your good friends too, cause it's getting nearer, and soon we'll be with you. Come and join the living, it's not so far from you, and it's getting nearer, soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder. Crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country. Come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder. Come on.